Previously on Podcast That Pretense.
I'm thankful for two things. Jack and shit.
Is Eric having a big boy drink?
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed your boxes of stuff. Like, I hope it doesn't take up too much space.
Excellent episode, guys. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar.
And I'm Eric Sandine.
And together, we make a damn fine Thanksgiving dinner.
Cooked. As in, like, we are not cooked and then become one?
Yeah, exactly. We don't prepare a damn fine Thanksgiving dinner.
It tastes like yams.
Converted into food. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What if somebody had to pair a side with you, Jonathan, what should the side be? If they were having the main course is Jonathan Strickland meat, what goes with that?
Shame.
Shame? Yeah. Sandine steak comes with what?
I don't know. It's probably something really sweet because it's going to be bitter as hell.
And an act top.
It's going to be s'mores.
And for the Akhtar Tatar, I would suggest a very, very nice wine, red wine. There you go.
I think it's just Akhtar Tar.
that's the brand name version of it. That's the trademark version. You're right. They put it together.
Fairly convinced you could come across Akhtar Tar in Fallout 4.
I mean, I know that's a game, but I haven't.
It's great. It's fantastic. I'm very slowly making my way through it. I know there are people who have already 100%ed that game, but I'm just taking my time and enjoying it.
And that's part of the theme today. This is our Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
We actually
gobble,
the
gobble,
show.
Motherfuckers.
I would say some other stuff, but my kid's in the room, so I would love to quote Thanksgiving. Just use your imagination, which line I would use.
That was the famous tagline from Thanksgiving.
The first line. The first line in the movie, I should say.
I thought the first line in the movie was nice tits, bitch.
I know, I just can't say that.
Oh, that's what you would say. Got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eric, what do you want to say to everybody on their Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Nice tits, bitch, is pretty good.
Of course, we're talking about the turkey. Better than dead nude girls.
From all of us to you.
And also, we want to say hi to our sponsor. Thanks for our sponsor, Comcast. Jonathan, what's the tagline for our thank you to Comcast?
Fuck you, Comcast.
There we go. It's now, that's the way it starts.
Technically, hashtag fuck you, Comcast, but yes. I hesitate to ask. But have you by any chance watched the reconstruction of William Zero yet?
Yeah, I watched it today. And,
oh, wow.
I was going through like a Madman marathon and I was like, wait a minute. I can like working from home. I'm going to watch the movie. And actually, it started 12 minutes in because I started it a long time ago. Didn't remember what was going on. I actually rewound the movie, watched it, then got busy in a task, rewound it again. All right. So I watched this movie straight on, and then I was slightly confused, and then I read about it on Wikipedia. So there you go.
Gotcha. And Eric, did you see it? You saw it, right?
Yeah, I watched it 2 weeks ago. Something. Yeah.
Right. So we can actually have a quick discussion about this movie.
Yeah.
Once again, in the interest of full disclosure, I know the folks who made and starred in this movie. It does not mean that I'm going to go particularly easy on it. I like the premise of the film. I think the execution, I think in the attempt to be interesting and to try and create a slow reveal, it ends up not being very focused and the movie suffers from that. Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
in some respects. If you're not paying really close attention, I think certain elements get missed. And when I was reading the Wikipedia description of it, I'm like, oh, that makes more sense. But I just chalked it up to my own, like, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to it. But I think there were some execution problems.
Yeah, so I already read out the super translated review that I wrote last week. So I won't do that again. But the basic premise of the film is that it opens with a character named William, who is a very busy executive of some sort, working in a research and development company, who tragically runs over his own child, his own son, while trying to get to work. And then the movie skips forward in time by, I think, 5 years, something like that. And and William appears to wake up in a hospital gurney, but it's in an attic in someone's house. And his twin brother is nursing him back to health and explains that William had been in a car accident and that it might take some time for him to regain his memory and to become more like his old self. And as the movie goes on, we begin to suspect that the twin brother is not what he says he is. And we learn more about what William did as a job, and that he worked in those research and development company creates clones, which they call proxies. And in fact, the original title of this movie was The Proxy, but they changed it because another film called Proxy came out before this movie was distributed. So they also learned that proxies of proxies, a copy of a copy, tends to be fundamentally flawed and has a very short lifespan. Also, these proxies can be aged rapidly so that they are the appropriate age of whatever it is you want them to be. And it's very slowly revealed that the twin brother is in fact a copy of the original William, and that the one being nursed back to health is a copy of a copy, and that the copy number one, William Prime, I guess. We have William Zero, who's the original. William Prime, who's the first copy, who's posing as the twin brother. And then William Two, who is the main character for a large part of this movie. We find out William One is trying to enact revenge on William Zero. And his idea is, one, to kill off William Two so that he can fake his death. William 1 can fake his own death and disappear, because he says that's essentially what William 0 did to him. So he's going to kill William 2 and disappear and assume some new identity to be his own person rather than be forced to be the copy of William 0. But he's also going to kill William 0's estranged wife as punishment for what has happened to him. And it's William too who has to try and stop all of that, also while learning about his own identity. And the whole thing is tried to unfold in a way where these reveals become, you know, big revelations to the viewer. But like I said, I don't think it quite works. I think the ideas are interesting, but it doesn't quite have the impact. And I think it's just a little bit of muddied storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, the way you just described the plot sounds like an awesome movie. Like, it sounds like it could go really well. But yeah, they spent too much time, like, between those reveals and making them a big deal, or setting that. I think they were all just set up the wrong way. There was a reveal, like you kind of like knew it was coming and then it came and you were like, oh, all right. Yeah, I get it.
And I also felt that the choice to make the corporation a big evil organization, right, willing to kill, like they sent essentially mercenaries out after William, and they constantly just refer to the powerful ones as the people upstairs. Like it's a little too cartoony.
And a lot of that was really unnecessary to the plot itself. If they'd focused on the plot that they'd written, or rather the plot about these three characters, we didn't even need the giant evil corporation. It was a side note throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, like the corporation could have just been the organization that funded the research and where the research took place. And you could have had a little bit of interesting stuff there where William II is discovering what William Zero originally did and what William One has done. That would have been interesting, but there was no need to make them an evil corporation.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan froze.
Jonathan froze. But yeah, so...
Yeah, so when I was watching this movie, when it came to the different Williams, William 2, William 1, I had a hard time keeping track of them. So I didn't realize that it was 2 trying to stop 1 from killing the original the woman. At some point, I thought he was just going to try to clone and then kill her and then mess with somebody's head. It just – there's a lot of – there's not a real obvious way to follow everybody. I know one's like slightly sweaty. And now my video is starting to turn to crap. And one guy is like wearing a jacket. But it's not like, I mean, this kind of movie, you need a way to keep track of them. And I don't need the multiplicity style of over-the-top exaggerations when it came to this. But there could have been some kind of easier way to follow them.
It was a little bit hard to follow the plot that way. Like, or follow who, or know who was on the screen at any one time. Yeah.
Right, because you can't tell, at least with William Zero, when he shows up at the very end, he's wearing glasses. I'm like, good, I can tell the difference. Like, oh, then he takes it off, which screws me up. But like, to figure out who is killing who and who is trying to hurt somebody, like, it could have been more obvious,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So Jonathan is back, and you have a smirk.
Yeah, well, first of all, fuck you, Comcast. Second, But second, yes, I agree. It actually reminded me of the cartoons that always parody this kind of stuff, where you have two characters who look alike and they're struggling, and there's a third character who's got a gun. Like, shoot him! No, I'm the real me! Shoot him! It was essentially like that at the end of the movie. I love the director of this film is a good friend. I like his work, and I really like the core of the idea that he and Connell plays the main character. He was also one of the writers. I like the idea they came up with. I wish the movie had turned out a little differently. I think it would be a better film. I think it's an interesting movie that ultimately doesn't deliver on its premise.
Yeah. So did we talk about the end of this movie yet? Where I think it's William 2 has killed William 1, I think. And then William 0 shows up.
Yes.
For some reason. Oh, it's the 5th year anniversary of his son's death.
Yeah.
So he shows up.
And he's essentially been tempted out of hiding, right? He's and William 2 kills William 1, and he's dying, and tells William 0 to go out and live his life and to reconnect with his estranged wife. And not to let the deaths be meaningless.
Yeah, but doesn't all this killing and discussion happen while the estranged wife is in the house watching a projector, entranced with the footage of their kid?
I think so. It's been actually about a month and a half since I watched it because someone in this discussion didn't get around to watching the goddamn movie when we were supposed to.
I'm glad that you're holding on to that anger, considering I did see the movie. That's what I thought was going on, and I think that's a little bit strange. That's why I set it up that
that's,
way.
That's fine. Yeah. It's fine for you to bring up things that I honestly can't remember because it's been so long since I've seen the movie. We were supposed to watch a month ago. The other thing that happens is at the very, very end of the movie, they're at the beach, and his son comes up to him, and the implication is that he has created a clone of his son. So that he and his wife have not only reunited, but she has accepted the fact that he has recreated their son, which is also a little odd.
I always assumed that's what they were going for with this whole thing. I know that he hated himself, and so he wanted to replace himself, and so that would happen. I always figured that was the end goal. There's even a weird line from, I think the woman's name is Jules. She goes, in this locket, I keep a piece of his hair. I'm like, well, that's going to be used later. Clearly, they're going to make a clone with that. I was just more interested in the fact, would they be just producing the 5-year-old clones, and when they go blind and have tumors, do they just make another one? I mean, how are they?
Well,
he's like, William is always bringing his son.
The first clones. The first clones tend to be okay. It's the copy of a copy where the real problems come in. So if you make a clone once removed from the original, they are much more stable. It's when you make a clone of a clone that things it's almost a guarantee that they will die from these terrible tumors and stuff. I think something that would have really made this movie more interesting to me, I love the idea that there is a character who is suffering tremendous loss, and rather than try and process that and deal with that, the character decides to try and escape and uses this ability to clone himself to put a copy of himself to have to deal with all the shit, and then he bails. That's a great concept, which we don't really understand until we get about 2/3 into this movie. I would have loved to have had more of a sequence where the original William comes back and has to confront the fact that he did this, that he bailed, that he could not handle the responsibility, that he essentially pushed all that onto a new life form unfairly.
Right. And ignored
That's
it
a
himself.
Really cool yeah. idea. I just wish that we had had more of that in the movie.
Going back to the idea of the original William going away, I would have liked to see I know he was guilty and he felt bad about it and he comes back, but it would have been interesting if he was just like, you know, I'd made the right decision. And be like, okay, that would mess you up at the time, because the clones are kind of just learning stuff, right? And they're going to follow the same brain patterns at some point to come up with the same ideas. Because there's one scene where William 1 and William 2 are fighting, and I think one of the guys talks the other one into like not hurting them. But I'm like, wait a second. You know if that other person's willing to hurt you, because if you're willing to hurt him, it'll hurt you back. See what I'm saying? Like, you know how the other one thinks already inherently.
There's some indication that clones are not truly exact copies, because obviously William 1 turns extremely sinister and willing to kill as a means of revenge, and William 0 never seems to have that particular instinct. So there's at least something there as well, where the copies are not perfect copies. They're near perfect. Outwardly, they appear to be perfect, but there's something different on the inside, because although it's kind of hard to say that, just because we spend so little time with William 0 that we don't get a real feel for what his personality is. But the time we do spend, he doesn't seem like he's a killer.
I mean, and the other thing that we have to realize is that the clones, you know, there's the whole scene with like the VR goggles where he's feeding memories into them and constructing their memory. It's feasible that since the clones haven't actually lived a life up until the point that they're picked up off of the gurney and the goggles are taken off, that they're, you know, actual like compass and morality is completely different from somebody who had actually lived the entire life until that point. Cause there's lots of gaps between memories.
Yeah. They had a very selective past.
Right.
That's an interesting point. See, all of these are really cool ideas that are hinted at in the movie, but aren't explored overtly enough to make it like a plot point. But like I said, it's this promise of the idea that's so interesting. And I know that Dan and Connell have worked on some other stuff too, so I'm hopeful that they'll continue to be able to collaborate and come up with ideas, because I think that they were on the right track with this one. It just didn't quite work for me. It's not a bad movie. It's just not fully realized.
There was a lot of plot points that could have been explored that would have made it much more interesting, or a little bit deeper. Yeah.
So, hopefully Dan won't watch this.
Probability is pretty high that he won't.
I mean, well, I don't know. We're still on track to become one of the best podcasts of 2014.
That's true.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I mean, I don't know how often this movie was reviewed. It does have a Wikipedia page. I don't know if you can hear cars honking outside.
Yeah.
There are cars honking outside.
they're giving thanks.
Yeah, because they're thankful that some of the streets outside are closed because they live by the park, and they're blowing up the Macy's Day balloons nearby. And so they're very happy that we're doing this show. They're rooting for us. It says honk if you want us to be one of the best podcasts of 2014 while you're blocked in. I'm going to hit mute now.
I'd like to think that you meant by blow up the balloons to explode them rather than to inflate them.
Yeah, I have to be very careful what I say while brown. I do have to say inflate instead of blowing up stuff. I wanted to say something that got very popular, and I wanted to use the very old phrase blowing up, and I was like, wait, can't say that anymore.
It's also why it's dangerous for you to see an old friend in an airport named Jack, because a brown guy saying, hi, Jack, is a bad thing in the airport.
You know, my favorite thing at the airport was being on a Virgin America flight, and they have games on the consoles, and one of them is called Mad Bomber. And I'm like, I can't be like, hey, Eric, you want to play Mad Bomber? You can't get out on a plane. Why is this game shouldn't even be on the plane? Because if anybody says it, regardless of color, you're not going anywhere for a while, or you're going to be going.
Including that game is a distinct lack of judgment.
Yeah, I just thought maybe I remember just seeing it and staring at it. I'm like, this can't be real. But I'm going to leave it alone.
I'm sure you posted that on Twitter too. I remember like a couple.
I did because I found it to be just a really stupid idea. Also, lip balm. Can't you say lip balm?
Right. Lip balm.
Lip balm.
And then next thing you know, we all have to remove our lips when going through security.
But you got to press them against a piece of glass. That's sanitary.
Man. So I know we're going to do a short episode today. So do you guys want to play the quote game? Where sure. I pull quotes from past episodes and quiz you guys. Who wants to go first?
Well, the honking stopped, so Eric, that means Eric's going first.
Eric's going to go first. All right, so I pulled all of these from the same episode. These are all about the same movie. So this is not one of those episodes where we did two different films or anything. This is all about the same movie. Your job is to identify the speaker and what the film is, if you possibly can. So, Eric, here's the first quote. They're blown up by a Sharpie pen.
I want to say Jonathan for Sharpie pen.
That's correct.
I cannot... was it the robot one? I don't know the title.
Okay, going to Iaz. The dynamic duo comes in and quickly defeats people with sound effects.
That sounds like me.
That is you.
Okay. Good. The dynamic duo sound effects. Oh, what is this from? And this is the same movie?
Yes, these are all from the same movie.
Oh, is this the Terminators?
No.
Darn it.
It's an excellent guess, though. The next one, Eric, is I knew I was in trouble in the beginning when the opening narration and the text didn't match up. So there was a text crawl and opening narration, and they said two different things.
Oh, God. What movie was that?
Well, first of all, who said it?
Yeah. I want to say Ayaz on that one.
That was me.
Damn. Okay.
That's one of the problems is finding quotes where it's not just me. We're reading from my 8 pages of notes on a goddamn movie.
And I don't know what had an opening text crawl. Honestly, I can't.
Okay.
Blown up by a Sharpie.
We'll move on. Ayaz, the next one is, that's why I call it Oily T-Zone, the movie.
Okay. Oh. That's got to be you, Strickland.
Yeah, that's me.
Who said it? But yeah. I want to say this is the Black Knight or something.
Yes, it's Black Knight Returns.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Because I'm like the dynamic duo sound effects and the crawl. Because I was like, is it the Adventures of Thunderstrike? I'm like, no, wait, there's no crawl in that. But in Black Knight, this awful movie where there's like this weird There's even like an
on the sound effects were like it's just absolutely horrible. Yeah,
it's because they didn't bother to put like muzzle flashes on the gunfire. Yep. And yeah. I want to say that there's this terrible semi-incest subplot. Do you remember this?
Actually, the next quote I had was they even had the incestuous relationship happen early in the film. It's in the first 5 minutes, which was Eric who said that. And yes, it was. It turns out it's a mother and her adopted son. But yes, there is an incestuous relationship.
Who's the bad guy? Evil guy?
Yeah, they don't reveal that he's adopted until well into the movie. So for the longest time, you're left thinking that it's actual mother and son. Not that adopted son is much better, but it's still. Then I have
gave away the girls. Curtains.
Yes, the curtains all over the place. It's amazing how much you can remember about that. I couldn't remember any of this until I listened to the podcast. But the next quote I had was, "The girl says she likes his teeth too, but that's what a serial killer says." Which was mine. That was me.
Okay.
And then the last one I had was the Swossum Podcast. I think that's our next name when we change names. And that was you, Ayaz.
Yes. Yeah, Ayaz Swossum. Was, that's what the
obsessed with Swossum, which was the word that the girl's sister had invented.
Yeah, and she was the romantic lead for our hero. Oh my gosh, I remember this movie too well.
You remember details about that film.
I just remember because the audio was bad, the set decoration was bad, the lighting was bad, the makeup was bad, and I was just like, this is amazing because it's so bad. The costuming, there was somebody redoing an Iron Man helmet, I think it was, and like a Batman like armor chest that didn't actually have straps that went to the back, so it kind of flapped around in the front. Like it just was such a lazy design.
The thing I loved most about this movie was that all the bad guys, like the thugs, all the thugs wore masks, even when they were just hanging out in their own headquarters. It's like a bunch of guys in ski masks, just like, so, what you doing this weekend?
Yes, that movie, I might have seen that movie more than once, though. That's the thing.
What's really funny is that in that episode, Ayaz, you and Eric and I all have a very heated debate about which movie was worse, Black Knight Returns or The Adventures of Thunderstrike. Or Thunderstorm, whatever it was.
It's Thunderstorm. I think you're right about that.
And I think you argued that Black Knight Returns was better and that we both argued Thunderstorm was better. I can't remember. It pitted you against the two of us.
I'm definitely placing the Black Knight Returns underneath Richard.
Thunderstorm. Because Thunderstorm. I remember, like, this Odin, a giant head would appear, and then it would barely move, and they'd be like, "My son, blah blah blah. I know this effect is worse than Zordon and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers." It's like, wait, why are we pausing this? And they had these ridiculous light rays, and I thought. Black Knight was amusing.
Weird was that you had already watched Thunderstorm before we started the show. You had watched it and then suggested that Eric and I watch it. But you had watched it. You explained. You watched it skipping fast around forward. The movie. You didn't watch it all
and
the
it
way
was
through.
Still crap. It was still crap when I fast-forwarded it. So that's something. But then again, maybe I could be in awe of how terrible it is should I watch it straight through again.
This is why I tweeted the other day that listening to these old episodes is like reliving bad decisions we've made.
Speaking of bad decisions, I think this time it's my turn to pick a movie, isn't it?
To say it's your turn.
Oh gosh, it's going to be that Joe movie. That's like 6 hours long. So let me go.
Well, there's find remember
terrible
big money Hustlas is available on Amazon Prime.
I think we can just hold that one because I'm not. I don't think so. It took me like six.
We've watched two Insane Clown Posse movies already.
Isn't that enough for the rest of our lives?
One was more than enough, but we've already done two.
Or what's suggested for me in my PWP section? Oh, that looks terrible.
I don't know, but your video has appeared to have frozen. Audio is still playing, though.
Okay, this looks terrible. Just want to see if it's in English.
What's even better is if it's not in English and it takes me a long time to figure out, I have to physically turn on captions in order to find out what the hell is happening.
All right, let me just tell you the description the description of the thing I'm looking at. It says, a remorseful former drug cartel hitman embarks on a vigilante killing spree, murdering his one-time bosses until an assassin begins trailing him.
Okay, that sounds very different from a lot of the other stuff we've done. Yeah.
It's an hour and 29 minutes, too. So if it's bad, it's quick.
It's mercifully relatively short. Yeah.
Although,
and I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands after tomorrow because I don't have any other plans for this long weekend, so I'll be able to watch it.
I have plans. Fallout 4.
Well, I've got Fallout 4 plans, but...
Although the Xbox One, you can do the picture-in-picture thing. So...
Yeah, it's 0 seconds. I'm playing Fallout 4 the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so what's the name of this damn movie, IS? You just gave us the description.
I know, I'm just deciding if that's a better one than this one.
Okay, that's fair.
This one, yeah, the next one I'm looking at is, on her counselor's advice, a young woman in rehab takes a job that lands her in a mansion with three psychotic siblings bent on purging her sins. This is a horror movie. Sorry, what?
That sounds great.
Is this an English?
Also, Zombievers is available.
Yeah, that keeps popping up when I'm looking through Netflix.
All right,
I kind of want to see Last Shift.
Which one is
Last
that one?
Shift is another horror movie. It's one that's not rated low, though. It's not a bad...
I think I tried to watch it.
That's in my queue.
It's one I keep almost starting, but I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
I will tell you about something I did watch yesterday that I thought was quite good, but I'm going to wait until Ayaz can pick his film for the next entry.
The movie I'm looking at, that was the original one, is called Redeemer. Okay. Let's watch Redeemer. It looks really violent.
Is it this guy doing a high kick on the front?
Yes.
And it actually says genres action and adventure, international action and adventure. Oh, this is going to be foreign, isn't it?
International.
Well, starring like Marco Zaror, Loretto Aravena. I mean, sounding like there's a pretty good chance. I went ahead and added it anyway because it's too late now.
It's
predicting for me about 2.5 stars. It looks like.
I got 2.
Wow!
Scrubbing through it. Yeah. I can't find any dialogue.
No dialogue, it's just silent action.
No, as I'm scrubbing through, nobody's saying anything. There must be a conversation. Here's a conversation. Hang on. It's heavily accented English. I'll take it.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Great.
Sold, American. So the thing I watched yesterday that I think is interesting is Chaos on the Bridge, which is a documentary about the first 3 seasons of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Oh.
It's quite good. I was not aware of the amount of drama going on behind the scenes on that show. I knew there were some because you had, Denise Richards as Tasha Yar being killed off in the first season. You had Beverly Crusher disappearing after the end of season 1, being replaced by Polanski in season 2, and then coming back in season 3. So there was clearly stuff going on, but I had no clue how crazy things were behind the scenes during the whole launch of Star Trek: The Next Generation and getting through those first 3 seasons. And it's William Shatner who is essentially the host of the documentary, interviewing various people who were instrumental in those early seasons. And so many people have diametrically opposing memories of what happened that it's fascinating. So I highly recommend it, especially if you like Star Trek. It's an entertaining documentary.
What's it called again?
And it's a Chaos on the Bridge. It's only an hour long, so but well worth watching.
Yeah, I didn't even see that pop up on Netflix. Cool.
Yeah, it's.
I think we need to look into. Sorry to interrupt. I've got to run because my kid's here, so I should be dad. So you guys can relate. You know what that's like. It's like having Fallout 4 or.
Yeah.
Fallout 4?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, Fallout 4 is great for me upstairs, yeah.
Or a cat, yes. Okay. next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
So I ended up having a charcoal gray Friday.
You, Comcast.
Yeah, my New Year's great. I'm glad we're back.